welcome to the Sexy the Squirrel podcast, the podcast that gives you real life dog training results and some pretty epic journeys along the way. Today, I am joined by the wonderful Kelly, and we are talking fitness. Now, Kelly, I know that this is one of your huge passion areas, and we're going to talk about it being possible for all dogs in some capacity with the healthcare professional advice that might go alongside it for your dog. Now, what makes you love fitness first and foremost? Because you really do love fitness, right?
I do. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think while I was on a walk, actually, and one of the things that I really love about fitness is how it can replace a walk. And I know that we're going to talk a little bit about that with our Naughty But Nice dogs. But I've come to really, really rely on fitness for replacing my walk, especially when the weather's really terrible. I remember last winter when we had lots of snow here, because, as you know, I'm in Canada. I really did a lot more fitness because I just couldn't get out of the house. So it's given me that other avenue to kind of exercise my dogs without having to trudge outside and put waterproof gear on and all that kind of stuff.
And actually, I think it's worth qualifying, Kelly. And I have to just very quickly say, I apologize for the noise. It's very loud in Austin, Texas, right? It's very loud. There is a lot of traffic. So I apologize for the traffic noise. We're making this happen. And both of us are going out of our way to try very hard to make this happen today. But let's just qualify. Like, you know what, if it's snowing and the snow is up to your doorstep, there is probably not even weather gear to get on, because you actually sometimes can't get out, right, in Canada.
Yeah,
where you're exactly. I know there'll be people like this all over the world. I mean, one of the people I was talking to yesterday, I said, oh, I love Texas. Like, it's so cool. And they were like, you wouldn't have loved it in the summer.
Exactly.
Beyond 11 o'clock, they were like, you could not go out until the sun went down. And even when the sun went down, it was so humid that actually, and the bugs were everywhere. And so they were like, you wouldn't love Texas in the summer. And I think that was really great info. Like, just tell us a little bit about that, Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. I mean, we get snow in the winter and then quite extreme heat in the summer. So having fitness to be able to do indoors, obviously air conditioned house inside in the summer, heating on in the winter, it means that my dogs get that outlet, that physical activity, without having to think, oh gosh, I've got to go outside and walk them. And certainly 5-10 years ago, walks were the only thing that I thought was for my dogs in terms of physical movement activity. I never really thought about fitness being the replacement of that exercise for them. So in the winter, it's actually, I would say, in certain parts of Canada, it's actually dangerous to go outside because it is so cold. It gets to like -60.
And then
in the summer.
I can't even think about this. I'm like, I've known Kelly a long time, and I'm like, Kelly, what on earth were you thinking?
I'm not in those parts, thank God.
And now I just want to qualify that, because I also know you're hugely passionate about walking your dogs and taking your dogs out. I know you go on huge long hikes. What we are seeing here is there are times that it is not suitable, whether that due to weather, whether that be due to safety. I know you've been out on walks and you've met like grizzly bears and everything. Yeah. Like, it's actually you do have to think about different things. I was walking out with someone yesterday and they were telling me about the rattlesnakes that we might meet. And I was like, we're going to meet rattlesnakes. Like, this is new territory again. So what we're saying is that potentially people have another avenue, and we have more choice with our dogs than we did maybe 10 years ago, because we weren't necessarily aware of this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely 10-15 years ago, I was one of those walkers that the twice a day, and it did feel like a bit like a chore rather than a pleasure. And I like the fact now that if I don't fancy going for a walk for whatever reason, it might not be just because of the weather. It could be down to time as well, because what I love about fitness is that you can get so much done in a very short period of time. Whereas with a walk, you know, the time taken to get your harnesses on, your outfit on, whatever you're wearing to go outside, then the actual walk itself, and then the poo bags, you've got to get yourself prepared, and then walking the actual walk, and then coming home, and then having to like take off everything. So so the other reason I love about fitness is time. Like, if you don't have enough time to walk your dog, you can do 5 minutes of fitness and that kind of just gives you the opportunity to do something with your dog, which is what I love about fitness as well.
I love that. So let's touch base on who is fitness for, and let's sort of tag team this one a little bit. And I'm gonna say I really love the idea that fitness is for naughty but nice dogs. Mm-hmm. And in naughty but nice dogs, I know that Absolute Dogs, we have our amazing games club. So our library of hundreds of games where students get to join us and pick a game that suits them. And one of the biggest areas that are naughty but nice dogs, because we very much welcome naughty but nice dogs into our community. We want those dogs to come to us. We don't want them going out there and finding aversive methods or tools or things to sort of harm dogs. We want them coming to us to understand good ways to work with their dogs and ways that they can get results and without sort of going to an aversive. And for me, fitness is one of those ways that you can work with a naughty but nice dog and yet not need to put them in a situation they're not ready for, or they're not comfortable with, or they haven't got the skills to deal with, or you're not comfortable with, or you're feeling nervous about. And so I can think, okay, today I'm going to work on this, this, and this, and actually skill my dog up in that area rather than put them in an uncomfortable position. And so for me, naughty but nice dogs, fitness, if I was going to come up with a quick fitness plan for a naughty but nice dog who was generally otherwise healthy, I would say Cavaletti being one of my favorites, probably some sit down stand work. I love that. And I tend to do that really, really slow, not with verbal cues, but with visuals and luring it and trying to make it nice and slow, which my naughty but nice dogs definitely can struggle with. I would try and train alongside mirrors. And I'm going into way too much detail here because we're going to talk about who it's for. But also, I probably would like to give them some level of texture and tactile fitness as well. So actually we're using proprioceptive sort of feedback. So those things all sit really nicely with me. Now, I know, Kelly, you think there's loads of other people it's for as well. So let's tag team. Who else might be naughty but nice dogs? Don't put them in a bad situation. You know what? Do some fitness instead some days. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fact that we could ditch the walk for our naughty but nice dogs. Well, fitness is for every dog, really. I know that we just sort of tackled naughty but nice dogs, but every dog can fit, benefit from fitness. Obviously, me being an avid hiker, going out and hiking with my dogs, we're going, you know, 10, 15, 20 kilometres. That's the humans doing that distance. Obviously, dogs tend to do 3 or 4 times the amount.
I'm remembering a hike, Kelly. I remember you took me
a more one.
It was like 8 years ago. I think I nearly died. Genuinely.
I remember that.
I broke an ankle, and I mean, I did, but I was like, I went over, I slid in mud. I was like, Kelly goes on proper hikes. Like, she is.
That was like a fast pack Canicross type hike, wasn't it? That we went on across Dartmoor. Yeah, I dragged you out. That was very funny. and that's the thing, right? We're, you know, Dartmoor, provincial parks in this country and obviously other countries as well, the terrain is quite hard. They're actually preparing our dogs' bodies for terrain. They might want to climb on tree stumps. They might want to leap over things. There's steep hills. There's ups and downs. There's rocky terrain. So actually preparing our dogs' bodies for just going out on those hikes. So yeah, basically, if you're an avid hiker and you love going out with your dogs, then absolute fitness is for you. How about you, Lauren? Who else is fitness?
Well, I'm going to have to take the obvious. I'm sorry, Kelly. I'm going to take the obvious. And the obvious for me is sports dogs. You know that both you and I are massive, massive sports fans. So we love our sports dog training. It's absolutely high on our agenda. So for you and I, sports is always exciting. And both of us have had the sadness, I suppose, of having injured dogs as well. And I don't think that's through lack of preparation. I think we're both really good at preparing our dogs. And at the same time, I feel that you can almost never over-prepare with a dog in fitness for sports, because sports puts our dogs through so many positions and movements and planes of motion and things that your dog would never be expected to do in a normal world. Like, they're just, it's extreme and it's repetitive. And there are so many things that you can do without ever going near the sports field. So for me, I think a lot of people are surprised because they see the huge arena at Bowerland. Like, there's a mega, mega space at our home, and it's a massive arena. And yet, actually, I say I probably train in that 5% of the time, and the majority is probably 95% fitness, whether that be like outward fitness, like road hikes and woodland or out and about, or probably more typically for my dogs, it would be a specific fitness program, games that come out of the games club and games that come out of our fitness badge that actively really, really help dogs in their fitness and owners to have them prepared for the sport. Now, if you think about it, like flyball turns, or if you think about it, agility turns, or if you think about it, disc dog turns, or if you think about it, straight line canny cross work, and how the dog can maybe start to build up muscle in maybe areas that don't allow them to then be as flexible. Like there's so many sports. If we just like dock diving, I watched that the other day. I've never seen that. I watched that in the US, and barn hunt and all these games. It's not even part of. There are so many dog sports. I mean, flyball's a mega impact sport, and bite work like Schutzhund and all of those sports. There are so many dog sports. Dog dancing, like I've watched some really brilliant dog dancers, and yet you can see their dogs will be broken. You can see it. You just need to look. And the dog, I've always had this gift, Kelly, and I feel really grateful for this gift, because I didn't acknowledge it as a gift early on, but I've had a few people come up and say, and they said, Lauren, you have a gift for selecting a dog's movement, and you have a gift. God, the loud, this car place is loud. I apologize for the car noise, everybody. It's very loud, Austin, Texas. So they said, you have a gift for looking at movement, and a gift for looking at structure, and a gift for looking at balance. And that for me, you can't change that in a sports dog, but you can enhance and improve it. So when I say you can't change it, you can't fundamentally change that dog in the sense that you can't like, you can't make their, I don't know, their neck longer, or you can't make their, like, you can't physically like add in length, but you can physically improve. So I do think you can physically improve. And like I watched a dog with an obedience handle the other day who had been doing like a lot of high foot heel work. And so her, what she'd been training her is almost going against what she actually wants. So she wants to elongate her. So I think that fitness can really help to make up for any shortfall in our dog structure. And I feel very, very lucky to be able to look at dog's movement in a fairly naturally talented way. And I do feel grateful for that.
Yeah. And to add to the injury thing, you can't prevent injury. You absolutely can reduce the risk of it with doing fitness. But what I will say is, if you do unfortunately experience an injury in your dog, if you've done a lot of fitness with them, actually they tend to recover better and easier with that kind of groundwork of fitness behind them. So that's something else to add there.
Actually, that's a brilliant point, because in addition to that, the other thing, like let's take Brave's injury. For those who never saw Brave's injury, we popped it on YouTube. So it is on YouTube. It's on the Absolute Dogs YouTube. So you can go and check it out. It's pretty sad. Brave had an injury that effectively changed our lives with her. And that damage is irreparable. But the thing is, she already knew a lot of the fitness. So even though her neurological sort of capacity and capability is different, she actually remembers some of what she did. And although she can't always work out, for me to explain it to you guys would probably be like, she can't always work out where her leg is in space. She definitely can remember the exercise. So you'll see her try. So she can remember the exercise of trying to do it. And so I think there's, in addition to actually the dog being able to recover quicker, I also think there's the ability to actually know the exercise so they can recover in the sense that they already know the exercise. You're not trying to teach the exercise. And let's take, for example, the water treadmill, or let's take, for example, the swimming pool, which I know is a whole new area. And please, please, please check with the relevant health professionals beforehand. But Brave already knew the water treadmill. Brave already knew the swimming pool. Brave already knew how to be handled. Brave already knew how to be picked up and put down, and use Cavaletti and use poles on the floor and use paw pods and use static stands and tail strokes and elongating her and shortening her. And she knew all those things before she ever had her accident. And whilst I feel terribly unlucky in her accident was just sprinting. Like you said, I couldn't have prevented it. There was nothing we could have done to prevent that accident. It was a running accident. She was just running. Whilst we can't stop that accident happening, other than keep her on a lead for life and wrap them in cotton wool, which obviously is potentially attractive, but not necessarily the right thing to do. And at the same time, Kelly, I think we've been incredibly lucky in having all the people around us like you and our rehab team who effectively have educated us even further. But we're lucky also that we already knew a lot, and she already knew. So I think it helped, doesn't it, in that sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. I, in previous roles, as you know me, I've worked in conventional vet clinics and rehab vet places. And I would say the biggest struggle is seeing dogs who have never come across any of the exercises before, or any of the equipment that might need to be used. And actually, there's a confidence issue there. So working with fitness just for growing confidence is huge in our dogs. That's another thing, I think. If you've got a dog that's is worried or not confident, then actually doing fitness is a great concept for them to grow that confidence. And you're doing it all in the comfort of your own home as well. So yeah, I think another group of dogs that fitness is great for is our senior dogs. I think that's another a group of dogs that benefit.
You have a senior dog, and yeah. Having a senior dog is emotionally tough, sometimes mentally tiring, sometimes physically tiring. Yeah. I know we've had a phone call and you'd be like, oh, there's a poo on the floor. Right? Where the senior dogs just don't necessarily, like, they tax us, they test us, and we adore our dogs. And at the same time, they'll throw like some real sort of spanners in the works that you're kind of just not seeing coming. And at the same time, you also want to keep them as mobile, as agile, as physically able, as mentally able as possible. So tell us how that might look, Kelly. I had to throw that one out there because it's one of those things, isn't it? When you've got an old dog.
Yeah.
And the other I mean, Blink does this now sometimes. You find her just staring at the ceiling and you're like, what are you actually doing? And so I'm like, oh, I need to just interrupt that and do this, or need to play around with that. She's on Calm Canine Senior. So she's on Calm Canine Senior, as I know your guys are as well.
Yeah.
But Calm Canine Senior has got a lot that really helps for the neurological sort of boost as well at the same time. Either way, though, what would it look like? How does fitness look for dear old Brinny? Because Brinny isn't going to go out on your 5-hour hikes with you.
No.
It's not suitable or appropriate for him. But how does his life look?
So he, the things that I do with him very much changed. As dogs age, they kind of lose that awareness of where they are in space, which is called proprioception. So a lot of his fitness is sensory paths, like balance paths, getting him to walk over different objects, just to kind of give him that experience of having his paws on something. I do a lot of Cavalletti with him as well. And the way that I do his Cavalletti is I have two cones at each end so that he's doing a little bit of bending as well. So he's going through the Cavalletti, around the cone, and then through the Cavalletti. So a lot of his exercises are definitely movement rather than the sort of more sort of static dynamic fitness exercises that I do with the other dogs, like the sit to stands and bow to stands and all that kind of thing. And he absolutely loves it as well. And I think that, you know, I'm going to be honest here and say that owning a 14-year-old dog who does have accidents in the house from time to time, and he obviously can't help it, it can be frustrating. But then when I do fitness with him and other bits and pieces, his little face just lights up and I'm like, oh, bless him. He really enjoys it as well. And I think it's quite easy to assume that with a senior dog, because they do sleep a lot more, that's all they want to do in the day. They just want to kind of sleep in their little bed and not really move all that much. And I think it can be quite tempting to think that they don't want to move, but actually they do. You just need to kind of inspire them with fun little things to do with them. So when I get the Cavalletti out and pop him on his bed, he's little, because he's got blue eyes now, because obviously they've gone, I don't know. bless him.
Bless
he's a pricked, and he wants to be part of it still. And I love that, the fact that he does. He enjoys the fitness sessions just as much as the other dogs.
He opts in, doesn't he? And I remember when I first met you, this is way before like Sexting a Squirrel and courses like that. Obviously, those of you listening, Sexting a Squirrel podcast, there is a Sexting a Squirrel course, and you can definitely, definitely, definitely get involved. Just £27. Oh, my goodness. Like, literally, it's insane. So definitely head to the website, Absolute Dogs website. But when I first met you, I remember like literally running over a hill with you and we were getting in a field because basically Bryn had gone off chasing sheep. Yeah. He was that naughty boy, wasn't he? He was a very... Oh, yeah. Boy, and he was very chasey, and he got you into things like Canicross and actually running with harnesses and dragging me across the moorland and lost and then twisting my ankle and all the fun. And I do remember those days because, I mean, we had a lot of fun. But now when you see them, it's almost the opposite. And you see this dog who is a tiny part of what their former self was. But actually, if we allow them to just do the sleep thing and actually not give them the opportunity to show their full potential, I think that is limiting. Actually, it's limiting. I was thinking one of the other things, and I love that you do your Cavalletti, and I know you do this as well. What I do with Brave and I know that you do with Bryn is when we're doing our Cavalletti, we'll put a lot of different fabrics underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have a towel, and I always put non-slip. So it's important it's non-slip. So it might be a towel, it might be like a some sort of like grip mat, the sort of thing you put your stuff on in a caravan. It could be anything in terms of I'm trying to think of other surfaces that I put on, a bubble wrap, depending on the dog and how slippy and things like that, like different grippy mats I do like. Cardboard boxes, but again, depending on I like them quite corrugated so the dogs can still get there. And I also like things that are a little bit noisy underfoot, because even if they've partially lost hearing, they can often have that sort of sensory potential and capacity there. So I do love the sensory ability. I think the sensory ability is really lovely. So that's something I do think is really important with Brave. But I also think when you were just saying about proprioceptive ability, I think that's important, isn't it?
Yeah. One thing that I have bought, and you can get these anywhere, and they're not for fitness, but they are the pyramid pans that you use for baking. I actually use those as little sensory pads for Bryn.
And the other one, I love those. The other one might be a very, very small step. So a bit like the yoga blocks, you'll pick up the yoga blocks, like £9. Don't buy the dog ones. You know what? The dog and horse stuff, I've realised, is hiked. Like, you can just buy.
It's the same. Like, if it's the same, if you add like the word wedding in front of something, just the price goes up.
Literally, like a little foam pad. And something that your dog can effectively step over. So effectively you're giving them very small steps. And with Brave, that was really good for when she was knuckling over. And if you haven't seen a dog knuckle over, it's one of those sort of neurological tests where you can very gently sort of pop their leg as if they're sort of not in the correct sort of position, and just gently if they're comfortable with it, and you'll see if they like pop back or not. And and Brave doesn't pop back. Like, she doesn't pop back. She does it in movement. So in patterns of movement, she'll do it. But in static, she doesn't have the her sort of ability isn't there in her back left leg since ANNPE spinal accident. And so for me, the ability there to actually do it in movement is important. So actually she can correct a leg in movement, because if not, she was just scuffing. And when she's scuffing, eventually you are going to have a dog with a sore pad paw. And once they have a sore paw, like, you do go down the route of actually potentially opening an infection, and then potentially you go down the route of sepsis. So it's actually, it might not look big, but it is big. And so where we can stop our dogs scuffing, or because you'll hear it in the old dogs, and with Brave, she's neurological condition, you'll hear that, like, as they're walking they scuff. And so for me, I think it's important to consider that in little steps. Or, and when I say little, I'm talking, and I know I'm pointing, and it's a podcast, so you might not see the video depending on how you're watching, but I'm talking like, if I was doing centimeters, I'd probably say like 5 to 6 centimeters, and if so inches, I'd say just under 2 inches would be, I've got no conversion here, so I've got no idea, but that sort of size. It's not a big step, we're talking little steps, right, Kelly?
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly what Bryn has got as well. In his senior eight, in his senior twilight years, he certainly has, he knuckles occasionally when I'm out on walks, because I can hear the nails scraping when we're kind of on concrete. So that's why his fitness plan for him is definitely movement and Cavaletti and just getting his body going, just so that he's really rehearsing picking his hind limbs up, because I hear that with him as well, and that's a very common thing with our senior dogs.
It's like so common, isn't it? Like, so common. Now I'm also thinking one other group that we haven't tackled. Now this group, they need exercise, however they often choose the wrong form of exercise. So this group, they're the puppies. They are often the ones that are zooming or whizzing or racing up and down sofas or hanging off stuff, or and it's probably right from sort of 8 weeks when you bring a puppy home, right through to be honest, a year, when they're starting to turn into their sort of adolescent stages, anywhere from like 9 months to a year. Actually, they often pick inappropriate exercise. And so when I'm thinking particularly back to Classic, because Classic used to just do walls of death. I've never had a dog quite like Classic. She's like a cat cross feral beast cross meerkat cross, I don't know, she's just something different. And she would do like walls of death, and they're not safe, and she'll do it on like a dogs, people think they know better. They don't know better than running on a slippy surface, or they don't know better than running on a wooden floor. Like, we have to advocate for them. And so I think fitness is fantastic for puppies. Again, alongside your health professionals, or watching Games Club and coming and joining us in Games Club. So Games Club, literally, some of you are listening, I know, are part of Games Club. If you're not part of Games Club, become part of Games Club. It's on the Absolute Dog Store. But puppies, there are appropriate exercises for puppies, right, Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely. The balance path stuff that we were talking about for the senior dogs. In fact, actually, it's interesting. Apart from maybe the Cavaletti, I would say that a lot of the things that Bryn does is very puppy based, really. And they do tend to kind of revert back to puppies, I find, with senior dogs in more ways than one. But with puppies, I think the focus is on actually just growing their confidence with things. So doing things like balance paths with them. The important thing with puppies is just not to do too much of any one thing. It's just variety is key. And I think that's same with the actual puppy training in general. So yeah, basically just playing around with some gentle fitness with puppies is fine. It's just not getting into the, you know, the more sort of advanced stuff. Yeah. It's just them exploring things and finding their paws, essentially, and working out where their body is in the world. And actually, my focus with puppies with regards to anything fitness is more about confidence than anything else, just getting them confident.
You hit the nail on the head there, Kelly, because for me, when I think of any of the training that we've done, whether that's through the Games Club or whether that's at the centre, we always think about confidence first. So yeah. I see a lot of people like using like the big inflatables. I don't know what there is, like women of our age and plus, that they get very excited about buying a big inflatable. We'll leave it there. But they do love the inflatables. And I'm like, guys, you know what? Number one is confidence. And so let's think, I love using like crushed cans. I know people listening are like, quickly write down crushed cans. No, I'm driving, I can't. But for me, like crushed cans, noise boxes, all of the things, again, that we play in the Games Club, all of the confidence games, knock them over, and literally loads and loads of different confidence games that I think almost a prerequisite to any of the games that we're going to need in fitness. But things like the moving objects pre-seesaw training when we do agility, or maybe it's like noisy objects, maybe pre-fly ball, or maybe it's a level of, like you said, where are my feet in space? So pickup sticks and Cavaletti. And so for me, I don't want to do any formal sessions. And I love the fact that you said senior dogs, it's not dissimilar to puppies, like in loads of ways, from the accidents point of view, right through to the right through to the mouth being a little bit sore, or them having off days, or actually the fact that, and it makes me a little bit sad to think about it, really, but it's not dissimilar to people, is it? You'll go through stages of playing like puzzles with children and then puzzles with people who are elderly.
Yeah.
I don't want to get older. Oh, let's not stop it. Oh! And I know that people listening are doing the same. They're like, oh my. But I do. It makes me a little bit sad, because we do need to give those opportunities, right? And puppies, the important thing is it's almost structured, clever exercise rather than, I don't want it to be formal sessions, but I do want it to be structured, clever exercise. So one of my favorite exercises, and you can give one of yours, and I know this might sound completely crazy, like out there, one of my favorites is to actually take my puppy's dinner into wherever my fitness thing is, and have all my fitness kit out safely. So it must be secured, so it can't be stuff that's just going to roll. And I don't want them to play with it. I don't want them to grab at the ball. Like, my customers will say things like, oh, but my dog, if they were given free space here, they'd bite the ball. I'm like, no, I don't give them a chance to bite the ball.
Yeah.
Taking a hungry dog to the environment. My transitions and my mechanics are really important here. And if you don't know about transition mechanics, that's what we talk in Pro Dog Trainer Club and Pro Dog Trainer. When we're thinking about how we train our dogs, how we set our dogs up, how we've got our food placed and toys placed and everything else, reward placement, generally timing, markers, all of those. And I will actually be placing up to a point, and then I would probably scatter the rest of their food just in that environment. So all they're doing is they're hunting from A to B to find their food in the fitness environment. Might take them 2 minutes, might take them 22 minutes. My goal is they are not as fast as Blink. And Blink, whether she's 10 years old or 10 months old, is beyond. And so that's one of my favorite exercises to do with a puppy. And they might stand on something that moves, but I don't want it to move much. It's going to move all of like an inch, 2 centimeters. Not a lot. And there might be something in there that's a little bit noisy, a box of cans or something else, but it's not going to be a lot. And all I'm trying to do is get their confidence in that environment. Same as if I was taking them in a water treadmill, and I'm fortunate enough to have a water treadmill at home, and especially with Brave's accident, I would do exactly the same. The guy that maintains our treadmill is like, please dear Lord, don't say you've been scatter feeding in the treadmill again. I'm like, sorry. Scatter fed the treadmill. Because lucky I can't scatter feed the pool, because I would, but don't do that in pools because you don't want your dogs ingesting water. So I'll scatter feed the treadmill, and I'll just go in and scatter feed the treadmill maybe once every, I don't know, couple of weeks. And just growing up, they'll do that before it ever moves or makes noise or fills with water, because that's got to be an intimidating place to be, just to sit in a tank filling with water. So that would be, sorry if it's not brief, but that would be my take on the early stages of some of my puppy favorite exercises. And they're really simple. They're not even really dog training, and yet they are. Mm-hmm. What would be some of yours, Kelly?
The one game that I absolutely love, that it covers so many concepts, not just fitness, it covers confidence, proximity, and a whole bunch of other things, is actually the Go Commando game. I played that a lot with puppies, because you're getting them to kind of go around on your legs, under your legs, and you're growing that concept of being happy with being close to you, but then also that it is a fitness game because they're climbing over you and going under you. And I love that one. That's probably one of my favorites for puppies.
You've got Mr. Peanut Butter. He is your young spaniel.
Mr. Peanut Butter.
So these are the sorts of things, like you said, when he's growing up, and he's just the nicest lad, and he's a very, very sweet dog. But these are the sorts of things you've grown him up on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, actually, that was probably one of the first games that he did was Go Commando. And I remember back in the beginning of this year, I had to go away for a few days, and my husband Tom also had to go away, and we had a friend come over and stay and look after all of our dogs. Shout out to James. Thank you very much for coming over and looking after our dogs. And I actually gave him some little games to play with Mr. Peanut Butter. He's actually called Loki. And Go Commando was one of them. And what I loved is when I was away, James sent me a little video of him playing it with Loki, and it was the sweetest thing. It was one of my go-tos, actually. Go Commando, anything close, anything just down on the ground. I just love that game for that reason.
Now, we've been told we're supposed to stay under half an hour. I don't know how the hell we do that, because you know there's a lot of cover. So I'm thinking, if people love this podcast, if they've enjoyed this podcast, if they have shared this podcast, and remember, there's so many opportunities there for you to love, like, share, make sure someone else knows about this podcast. Kelly and I will definitely jump on and we'll do a round two of this, because I think there's so much opportunity. I also think Austin is very loud, like very loud. And we've got getting started with fitness. We've got fitness exercises, and we've got a whole host of ditch the bowl and favorite exercises, and some of your favorite exercises and some of my favorite exercises. We've got a lot more to cover, right, Kelly?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually looking at our little plan here, and I'm like, we've literally barely scratched the surface. You're saying round two. I'm thinking maybe round three or four.
looking, and there was me thinking, actually, we should add some more to it when we were planning away. So I really, really have enjoyed chatting. I know that so many people who are listening to the podcast are going to think, oh, my naughty but nice dog can take part. My puppy can take part. My geriatric dog can take part. Obviously, we are suggesting that if you've got any struggles with your dogs, that you are working with your health professionals, or if you're in the Games Club and you're part of our membership, that please, please, please bring everything to Circle and show us within our community how you're struggling. Send us some of your videos. We'd love to comment on them and give you feedback. If you're not already part of the Games Club, join us, because we want to help and we want to see this with you, and we definitely enjoy this learning. And if that's not possible for you right now, do all of the things that Kelly and I are suggesting, and we're going to do another round real soon, right, Kelly?
Yeah, I can't wait to share more.
There's too much. So that was this episode of the Sexy and Squirrel podcast. Join us for the next episode, and depending how many of you share, like, love and spread the word of the Sexy and Squirrel podcast, well, we'll have another round real soon.